Only a short time ago, Amelia Earhart checked over every detail of her $80,000 flying laboratory in preparation for her round-the-world flight. This was to have been her greatest achievement. Then to a waiting world came news of disaster as the plane failed to reach tiny Howland Island in mid-Pacific.
Man, I just love how newsreels sounded back then. But history buffs are getting a new look at the famous disappearance of one of America's most famous aviators. Amelia Earhart disappeared 80 years ago this week during an attempt to set a round-the-world record flight by a woman. Schoolchildren ever since have been taught that her plane disappeared somewhere over the Pacific Ocean. But now a newly discovered photo suggests that that might not be true. Two people resembling Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, appear in a picture taken at the time of the disappearance back in 1937 in the Marshall Islands. There are other details, too, and many historians now believe that Earhart and Noonan survived a crash landing and died instead in a Japanese internment camp. Rick Gillespie, however, isn't so sure. He's executive director of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, or TIGER, and he spent years investigating Amelia Earhart's disappearance. He's author of Finding Amelia, The True Story of the Earhart Disappearance. Rick, welcome to The Takeaway.
Todd, it's great to be here.
Let's talk about this newly discovered photo discovered in the National Archives. It features several people on a dock. One looks a lot like Noonan, and another person with their back turned to the camera looks like Amelia Earhart, and in the water behind them, you can see a ship that's towing a plane that many have said looks like Earhart's plane, a Lockheed. Do you buy it?
Well, let's correct a couple of things here. First of all, it's not a newly discovered photograph. We've had that photograph for a year, and there is so much wrong with this, I hardly know where to start. We dismissed it right away as ridiculous, but it turns out that the Daily Mail newspaper in England also had the photograph a year ago. They got curious and they hired an investigator to check the National Archives to verify this story. What they find is that this photograph came out of a packet of other photographs that are labeled to have been taken after 1940. This is not a 1937 photograph. This is a photograph taken at least 3 years after Earhart disappeared. Okay. Let's talk about the woman who is alleged to be Amelia Earhart, if she is a woman. There's a person sitting on the edge of the dock, facing the other way. We can't see the face, but whoever it is has a lot more hair than Amelia Earhart had at the time she disappeared. Talk about Fred Noonan, or the alleged Fred Noonan character. First of all, it doesn't look like Fred. He's dressed in white shirt and white trousers. Fred always dressed in a dark shirt and dark trousers. But we've recently learned that the photograph that they used to show that the man in the photograph's hairline, receding hairline, is the same as Fred Noonan's, they reversed the photograph. You know, that's borderline fraudulent.
So, Rick, we've analyzed the photo a little bit. Are you suspecting a hoax here or just overexcited people for a new conspiracy or what?
Well, the Japanese conspiracy people are very excited, and they're always searching for some shred of real evidence to support their theory. There are no serious historians that think that there's any chance that Earhart was captured by the Japanese. That's been debunked since the 1960s. And for somebody to come along and say, no, that's all wrong, and try to contradict what we've done with something that doesn't begin to hold up to real analysis, this is serious. And so we're going to take it seriously.
So, Rick, what does your best analysis say about what happened to Amelia Earhart?
It's quite clear that she flew on a navigational line. She said she was following in her last radio transmission to the Coast Guard cutter Itasca. She said she was running on a line north and south trying to find Howland Island. Well, she didn't find Howland Island, but there's another island on that line. And the U.S. Navy at the time she disappeared reasoned that, well, if she didn't find Howland, maybe she found the other island that's on that line. It was then called Gardner Island. Today it's Nikumaroro. And they were so suspicious that she had gotten to this island that they dispatched a battleship from Pearl Harbor to sail the 2,000 miles south and check out the island. Meanwhile, while the battleship's on its way, people all around the Pacific, professional radio operators and amateurs in the United States, started hearing radio distress calls from the airplane. This went on night after night, widely believed, confirmed by the Coast Guard. Yes, this appears to be genuine. Putnam, her husband, says, thank God they're safe and so forth. And then Lockheed, the airplane manufacturer, chimes in and says, hey, guys, if you're hearing radio calls from that airplane night after night, it's on land. It can't be floating around in the water because the radios won't work if the airplane's in the water. And not only that, she has to be able to recharge the battery to send this many signals. And the only way she can do that is to run an engine. And for her to run an engine, she has to be on her wheels. So this airplane has made a safe landing someplace. And there's just not a lot of land out there. So the Navy figures, well, we've got it. You know, she's on land. She's on her wheels. She's landed at Gardner Island. As soon as our ship gets there, we'll be able to find her. Everybody expected a happy ending to this. But about a day and a half before the ship got there, the radio signals stopped. We are quite sure that they stopped because the airplane had been landed on the reef that surrounds the island. It's flat and smooth, dries at low tide, but the tide comes in. And each day the tide came in at that time of year, it got higher. And by the sixth night, the tide had washed the airplane over the edge of the reef into the ocean, into the surf, no longer visible. So on July 9th, 1 week after the disappearance, three airplanes from the battleship Colorado fly over Gardner Island looking for the airplane. No airplane. And they reason, well, for those signals to be genuine, the airplane had to be on land. We've looked on the land, there's no airplane. Therefore, somehow, all those radio signals must have been hoaxes or bogus or misunderstandings or something. We think what happened to her is she survived on the island as a castaway for certainly a matter of weeks, maybe months, before dying. In 1940, 3 years after she disappeared, a British colonial officer found a partial skeleton at a castaway's campsite on the island. There was part of a woman's shoe and a box that contained a sextant. And he said, wow, this might be Amelia Earhart. He notified the British authorities. But they misidentified the bones as a man, and the whole incident vanished from history until we tracked down the original British file in 1998. And we now know, based on the doctor's measurements, that the castaway of Gardner Island was a woman of Northern European descent who stood about 5'7" and had some physiological characteristics that are identical to Amelia Earhart's. She was almost certainly Amelia Earhart.
A photograph casting new speculation and a lot of excitement over the idea that Amelia Earhart may have died at the hands of Japanese war forces in World War II. Rick Gillespie says, no way. He's executive director of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery. Rick, thanks so much.
My pleasure.